Okay, now with my next guest, because we want to eat all of those wonderful plant foods, where are they going to come from? And Ben Hartman, my next guest, is going to tell us a little bit more. He's got a new book out, The Lean Farm Guide to Growing Vegetables. And Ben grew up on a corn and soybean farm in Indiana and graduated college with degrees in English and philosophy. Ben and his wife, Rachel Hirschberger, own and operate Clay Bottom Farm in Goshen, Indiana, where they make their living growing and selling specialty crops on less than 1 acre. Their food is sold locally to restaurants and cafeterias, at a farmer's market, and through a community-supported agriculture CSA program. The farm has twice won Edible Michiana's Reader's Choice Award. The Lean Farm, Ben's first book, won the Shingos Institute prestigious Research and Professional Publication Award. In 2017, Ben was named one of 50 emerging green leaders in the United States by Grist. Welcome to It's All About Food, Ben. How are you today?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm well.
I'm glad. I'm glad. I really enjoyed reading your book, and I read it rather quickly. So at some point when I'm ready to start my farm, this is going to be my guide. It's amazing.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
But I guess because you have degrees in English, that helped. That helps you
Sure.
write
Never
books.
hurt.
Yeah. So I have an engineering background, and I
Okay.
love systems and organization. And I know a lot of us, when we think about the earth and plants growing things, it all seems to some degree mysterious and to some degree difficult to control. Unfortunately, the last 50 to 75 years, industrial agriculture has been trying to control the environment and growing plants with all kinds of toxic chemicals and stuff. But you've come up with a plan that is sustainable and intelligent, and you can actually make some money.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think the local food movement is at a point where there actually is some real money in it, if you take the right approach. And I try to outline that approach in the books. And it's true. I mean, as you probably know, the lean system began in manufacturing, and we're kind of taking it out of the factory and putting it onto the farm. And to be honest, one of the reasons it was a CSA customer of ours who approached us and asked if we would be interested in trying out this lean system on a farm. And he runs a factory, aluminum trailer company. And to be honest, we told him thanks, but no thanks. And part of the reason is factory methods on farms haven't always turned out sustainable results. In fact, it's led to less sustainability. And the other thing is, I told him, imagine running your factory without a roof over your head. There's just too much volatility out here. We can't systematize anything, much less the lean system. However, in the end, we said yes. And the reason is really at the heart of it, lean is about identifying waste and eliminating it from your system, and then delivering precisely what your customer wants, and identifying what your customer wants, and really listening and taking your customer seriously. And we had to admit that we actually did have a lot of waste on our farm, and there was a lot of room for improvement. And so we said, okay, we'll try it and see what happens. And so we tweaked the system. It's and not every piece of the lean system fits just perfectly on a farm. However, the basic concept of identifying your waste and getting rid of the waste has really given us a boost in profits and has made our farming easier to do.
This idea of waste and reducing waste is more profitable and also saves you time is very powerful, especially now where most of us, not everyone, is talking about climate change. And according to drawdown.org, waste, food waste, is the third topic they list that can have the most dramatic improvement on climate change by reducing food waste. And we lose food at so many different steps, but the biggest place we lose food is on the farm. And when you can be better at that, it's also going to help improve our environment.
Absolutely. I mean, as you might know, the U.S. Department of Ag estimates that 20% of fresh fruits and vegetables that are produced are never even harvested, and they never even leave the fields. And also, the agriculture as a sector, as an industry, it contributes more to fossil fuel pollution than any other industry. And so we have a lot on our shoulders here in the ag industry to take this seriously and to reduce the amount of fossil fuel consumption and the amount of waste on our farms.
Yes. So.
And really, it's good for us, too. It's good for farmers. It's not just good for everyone else living on planet Earth. It really does help your bottom line to cut out the waste and make sure every seed turned into cash, that you're not wasting any effort.
And I was fascinated by so many different steps that you looked at, well, just about every step in your process, and found ways to make things more efficient and faster. There was one line I remember. I'm trying to remember what it was with respect to, but you said the work is tedious, but should not be mindless.
Uh-huh.
That applies to everything we do in life. I mean, so many things are routine and difficult and challenging, but so important to be mindful about everything that we do, and the discovery can be amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I think actually that is that's one of the side benefits of applying lean to a business is that it declutters your working environment and it makes it more easy to slip into a state of flow where you can focus on the work at hand, and it results in happiness. Research shows that the most productive and the happiest workers, whether they're on farms or in other places, are workers who have just what they need in front of them and no more. And when you can get rid of the clutter, get rid of everything you don't need, and you can focus, even it still can be hard work. I don't want to say it's not. You know, sometimes hard work on a farm. However, you can focus and you can enjoy your work more.
Now, you've taken a lot of knowledge from the Japanese. I imagine that some of their skills come from a great need for not having a lot of land and needing to be able to grow as efficiently as they possibly could.
Yeah, that's true. And countries like South Korea and Japan, their small farming community is decades ahead of ours here. And part of many of the tools that we use come from those countries and the methods and techniques. And the reason is, like you say, they have not had access to large tracts of land. They've had to maximize every square foot in order to feed their growing populations. And actually, this is at the heart of the lean system, because the first workers at Toyota were rice farmers. And they brought this very lean thinking, and Toyota is considered a model of the lean system, an originator of the lean system. And so these rice farmers brought this very lean, no-waste way of thinking onto the factory floor. And at the time, just after World War II, when Toyota began, it was a challenging environment to be an automobile manufacturer, because the country had just been bombed out, and no one was purchasing vehicles in Japan, and there are no stable suppliers for parts. It was a very difficult time to begin an automobile business. However, they said, we're going to do it anyhow, and then they said, we want to catch the productivity of U.S. auto workers within 3 years. And so they set about applying these rice farming thinking, this rice farm thinking to the factory. And they did it. Within a couple of decades, they had outpaced every other auto manufacturer and became the world's number one auto manufacturer. And at that point,
my first car was a Toyota.
Okay, great. And it lasted a long time, probably.
It did. Absolutely.
So Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, sent a team of researchers over in the 1980s. To figure out just what the heck is going on. And that team really codified the lean system and explained it in such a way that other businesses such as ours could use it and implement it.
One of the things I love about it is that it takes into consideration that nothing is stagnant. Everything changes And you have to consistently go with the flow and change along with it.
Yeah, change is the one thing that's constant in
That's
within the
right.
lean system, and the idea is that it's not just that it's not just to make your work interesting. It's we change because we're imperfect, and there is always a better solution. And if you think you've found the solutions, the final solutions, then you're probably ready to be shown the door. Because there are no final solutions. There are only intimations of perfection. And in the lean, they say perfection is the goal. You want to produce with zero waste, absolutely no waste in your system. And that's obviously unattainable. There's always some waste going to creep in one way or the other. However, if that's what the goal is, then you can always come closer. And so we found every year we grow using different methods, and the pace of change is very quick on our farm. We're constantly finding new techniques, new methods, and new processes, and it keeps our farm interesting, and it makes it more profitable.
And did I read this right? Do you move around what you grow over different parts? You don't always grow the same things in the same plot.
Yeah, that's true. There is quite a bit of rotation.
And
And the
why do you do
idea
that?
behind, yeah, the idea behind behind that is we want one of the principles of lean is full capacity production, and so you want to be using every square foot of your factory or every square inch of your greenhouse. And so what we do is when we see a space that is not used. When a plot becomes open, we work very quickly to put a crop in. And so as soon as we harvest, for instance, say we have a bed of 300 head lettuce, within a couple hours, we're going to plant some beets or something else in that space. And so we're constantly at full capacity production, and there's no space that's ever open for very long. And just by virtue of following that principle, a crop gets shifted around quite often.
You cover so many different things. You have one chapter on weed and pest control, and this is a big issue, especially for those of us who want organic food. You grow organically, but you also use organic certification approved methods to handle pests and weeds. And I liked a number of times in the book when you talked about certain methods that people do. You always ended up finding that you liked the methods that seemed to work best were the ones where there was planning and like preventative stuff ahead of time, rather than having to fix something later on.
Yeah, and in general, if we want successful, say tomatoes, a successful tomato harvest in August, then really the planning for that begins in the previous August, about a year ahead, with soil preparation, with making sure the infrastructure pieces are in place, and obviously with listening to customers, make sure we're growing the right type of tomatoes, right color of tomatoes. And so, in that way, farming is unique because most crops that we grow take at least 2 to 3 months, and sometimes more. And so it's a relatively slow turnaround compared to, say, a furniture factory where they can produce a table or something in an afternoon. And so we have this very slow turnaround period, and I think it means that we have to work extra hard to plan ahead.
Speaking of tomatoes, you talked about the difference between heirloom, hybrid, and heritage tomatoes. Can you explain that to all of us who don't really know for sure?
Yeah, so basically an heirloom tomato would be a tomato whose seeds have been passed through the generations. So these are older traditional varieties. And generations ago, they used to actually breed tomatoes for their flavor. Hard to believe, isn't it? And now modern tomato breeders in general are looking for, they want a tomato that ships. So they want a hard outer shell. And they usually want a pretty regular looking tomato. You don't want too many funky colors and shapes. And so these older tomatoes actually taste really good. On the other hand, the heirloom tomatoes, they also tend to be very disease resistant. And so a hybrid tomato would be a newer type of tomato that is bred, like I said, to ship and for uniformity. And then so a newer type of tomato would be these heritage tomatoes. And a heritage tomato would be a hybrid tomato that harkens back towards heirloom tomatoes. And so there are newer type tomatoes that are more disease resistant. However, they have the color and flavor that heirloom tomatoes used to have. And so we grow a mix of all three types, depending on what our customer is asking for.
Right. Now back to weed and pest control, because I was going somewhere and then I kind of went somewhere else.
Okay.
But the point I was trying to make was when you plan, like you plan for tomatoes or you plan for so many other things on your farm, when you plan, you can significantly reduce the number of pests and weeds that are growing throughout, rather than having to apply something unpleasant to get rid of them later on, right?
That's correct. And so essentially with weed management, the analogy I like to use is like someone building a house, like a carpenter building a house. You're going to tackle that project with as many tools, with a whole van load of tools, truckload of tools. And so with weed management, I think it helps to have a lot of tools at your disposal. And it's a complicated subject. There are a lot of ins and outs, and it depends on the crop that's going in. However, a general rule that we use is if a crop is in the ground 2 months or more, and so these would include tomatoes or peppers, these long season crops, we're going to use some type of a mulch, either a plastic mulch or a natural mulch like leaves or strip ball. And then if it's a shorter season crop, 2 months or less, then we cultivate those crops by hand. And then another, probably the most effective way that we have eliminated weeds from our farm is simply to transplant everything. We do very little direct seeding of crops. Most of our crops go in when they're between, 4 to 6 weeks of age. And that means they're also 4 to 6 weeks ahead of the weeds. And so we can get a jump on them. And that really cuts out on the weeding we have to do.
Now, I imagine a lot of these techniques that you have developed can apply to any size farm or even someone's garden.
I mean, the reason is that the types of weeds that the Lean System has identified, they're ubiquitous. And we actually have Rachel and I have a home garden at home. And those types of waste are in our home garden. They're in the kitchen. they're in the garage. They're everywhere. And they're in all kinds of work environments. And so there's waiting waste. There's wasted motion. And the book outlines the 10 types. And so it's true that the techniques the vegetable growing techniques that we use on a scale of about half an acre. And so you can certainly use every technique in there on a home garden too.
Your farm is called Clay Bottom Farm, and you talked about how the soil is clay, actually. And you have these tables and things about the different types of soils you can have to farm in. But I was surprised because I never thought you could grow anything in clay.
It's a double-edged sword because it's very difficult to work. It's obviously it sticks to your tools. It's very hard to transplant into it. However, clay holds so much nutrient that you need to add very little fertility to it. And basically what we did is we added lots of leaves, lots of grass clippings, lots of pasture cuttings, lots of organic mulch, and made a lot of compost. And we added that and mixed it in, and that really loosened it and made it a workable soil. And we've been very happy with it.
You have two young children now, right?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, age group 1 and 3.
1 and 3. And they're out there helping out on the farm.
I mean, I would use the word help in quotes, like air quotes.
Because there were some pretty cute pictures in your book.
Yeah, so we absolutely love and adore our kids. And one of the many benefits of leaning up our property and our farm, the one that I am proudest of is that it frees up a couple days a week that I can spend with our kids.
And you can even take a vacation.
And that we have plenty of time for vacations. We went on 5 camping trips last year with them. And
oh my goodness!
It's an absolute joy to farm with kids, as long as we have the time and the energy to be with them.
You also talk about how you decide what you're going to grow, and you, to some extent, you let your customers lead you or pull you. I think the term was. So. What are the trends right now? What are the customers demanding?
Most people in the U.S. now eat outside of the home most of the time. It's a minority of foods that we eat that are prepared in the home. And so what's trending is foods that are prepared, which means that sales to restaurants are really booming right now, especially these artisan restaurants. And even we've noticed in the last, 5 or 6 years in our business, our sales to restaurants went from about 15 to 20% to the point where you sell most of our food now. More than 50% goes to restaurants. And so what that means is we're doing a lot of listening to chefs. And usually what I do is every winter I'll go in and I'll talk with each of our chefs. And actually, Rachel and I try to eat a meatball in each of the restaurants that we deliver to. And we're observing the menus, and I'm asking the chef, hey, what's new on the menu next year? And could I buy seeds that would, could we plant crops that would complement what you're doing? And I can offer some suggestions, too. But in general, we take their lead and really try to listen closely. And according to Lean, there's basically 3 questions that you need to ask your customer. Number one is what do you want? What specific product you're after? Number two is when do you want it? And the third is how much do you want? So very simple. It's not very difficult to get answers to these questions. However, it does take a little extra effort. And we found that very simple technique is to go to each of our customers, each of our chefs, and ask them a version of these 3 questions. And then we fill a calendar out for the coming year. And we follow their orders. We get them what they want, when they want it, and the right amount throughout the growing season. And the closer we are to answering and delivering on those questions precisely, then the more profitable we are at the end of the year. And that's basically our farm system.
Okay, so what did they ask for last winter?
Fennel is kind of a crop that's becoming more popular because it has a lot of uses. For instance, we have a microbrewery that shreds their fennel and puts it on their hamburgers. And there's another restaurant that makes a fennel slaw. And so it's like a coleslaw that's half fennel. And there's another restaurant actually that's roasting it. They'll cut it into little half inch,
nice.
Little French fry shapes, and they'll roast it. And it's a very wonderful side dish.
Wonderful. I lived in the south of France in the early 90s, and fennel is very popular in French cuisine. So I guess the American chefs are figuring that out now.
And yeah, another one that's becoming more popular is rhubarb. And it's
really?
An older, rhubarb's an older traditional vegetable. However, there's so much you can do with it, including drinks. There are some traditional rhubarb drinks that some places are starting to use. And then obviously desserts, a whole range of desserts and other fruits you can mix it with.
And what does rhubarb look like when you grow it?
It grows low to the ground, and it's looks like a small bush with large elephant ear-shaped leaves. And the chefs, they like the rhubarb types that have the bright red stalks. They want a lot of color.
Yeah, I've seen the stalk sold in stores, but I didn't know what the entire plant looked like or where those stalks came from.
It's a very easy to grow crop, even in your home, because it's a perennial. You just plant it once and you can harvest it. 10 or 20 years.
Right. Okay, well, this is just fascinating. And this is what we're talking about now is the Lean Farm Guide to Growing Vegetables. But you had a book previous to this that is kind of goes along with it, right?
Yeah, my first book is just called The Lean Farm, and that talks about the lean system in general terms and explains it in such a way that farmers can, I think, wrap their minds around it. And then I give examples of how, you know, we applied lean in some cases on our farm. And then the new book, which is coming out just a week ago, is called The Lean Farm Guide to Growing Vegetables. And this one gives you detailed information on how to grow crops, whether you're a home gardener or a market, you know, market grower. I tell you everything I've learned the last 15 years. And it's the book I wish that had been available when I began.
You talk in the book about how most of your customers you try and keep within a 10-mile radius, and that also helps keep your system lean because you're not wasting money on travel. And That's really the way all farms should operate. Shouldn't we have farms near the population and working together?
It's actually the way that all farms used to operate. It's only been in the last two or three generations that we've kind of gotten used to this idea that we can ship our food across the world to whoever wants to pay enough to eat it. And the reality is, within 100 miles of just about anywhere in the U.S., you can grow such a wide range of crops. If you want to start a career as a small scale farmer, there's really no reason to look very far from home. And I say keep your food as close to home as possible.
Those are great messages. Ben Hartman, thank you so much for joining me today. I loved reading your book. Thank you for creating this system that is going to be so helpful to so many people.
Hey, thank you for having me. Thank you.
You're welcome. Ben Hartman, The Lean Farm Guide to Growing Vegetables, published by Chelsea Green, one of my favorite publishers. Well, that wraps up another It's All About Food show. I'm so glad you joined me. And remember, if you're still thinking about plant-powered and thriving, we start tonight. Go to thriving.foodrevolution.org/join. I'm Karen Hartglass. Thanks for joining me on It's All About Food. Have a delicious week.